Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Warren Lance, and I want to welcome you to the weekly Take Action Team podcast, where each week not only do we want to inspire you into taking action, but we really want to give you the tools to move your business forwards. And tools come in many different forms. I mean, there's activities that you can actually do, but there's also raising your belief and raising your understanding. And the individual that I have the absolute privilege of interviewing today is one of these individuals that is going to take your belief level to a whole new point. And just clarify understanding why these exceptional products sort of do what they do and how to get best results. In fact, this individual, going back, it took three times for him to actually get into Isagenics, and it was finally a team effort that caused him to stick and begin to build. So, I mean, that's really important because sometimes you have these great people, and they try it, and they drop out, and you think it's done. It's not necessarily done, and I'm sure that's going to come up. But this gentleman is a medical exercise program director. He's been a recognized trainer for 23 years. He's a chartered herbalist. And he entered the bodybuilding world at age 47 and has won nine trophies. He's won the Masters division. He's won the Open Heavyweight division. This is all in natural bodybuilding. Him and his business partner are six-star Golden Circle. They're Isagenics millionaires, and it's my absolute privilege to welcome them to the line this evening, Mr. David Jilks. How are you doing, David?
Hey, I'm really good, Warren. Yeah, this is actually, thanks for having me on. It's just, I'm actually really excited about this topic that we're getting into tonight.
Well, it is a real exciting topic, and there's a lot of there's a lot of interest around this idea of intermittent fasting. It's a little bit of a buzzword out there. And you talk cleansing to people, I'm not interested. But as soon as you drop the word intermittent fasting, all of a sudden everyone's ears perk up like, this is the latest, this is the greatest, this is what we need to do. So I am really looking forward to getting into that conversation.
Yeah, well, it is, I mean, you know, the fascinating thing is the more when you read scientific periodicals, if you're, you know, if you're geek enough to want to sit down and try to pound your way through them, they're never absolutes. You know, human body is really complicated. I mean, each cell, you know, can have 1,000 metabolic processes going on, at any given time. We're really complicated, and everything you read is always, it's never an absolute. It's always to the best of our ability, to as much as we know so far, given the research that we have right now, this is what we deem to be true. But in a year from now, the whole thing could be overturned in the light of a new understanding. So, you know, so it can be complicated, and it can be a little frustrating because it's when you take half little bits of information and you run with it, sometimes you're missing the big picture. So part of my goal is to see if I can clarify as much, you know, for myself to start with, as much of the big picture as possible, and then break it down and see if it just makes sense. One, does it make sense? Two, is it healthy? Is it safe? And is it something that can be easily reproduced and everybody else? And I think that's a beautiful thing that the company, of course, Isagenics, has done so exceptionally well. I'm just lucky. I was a geek early enough in life to actually try to figure a lot of this stuff out.
Well, going back, let's go back in time, because you just said a geek earlier on in your life. I mean, I understand your father is a herbalist and a holistic practitioner. I mean, you've been exposed to the concept of, I guess, eating well and good nutrition. Explain how you sort of got into this world. Was it purely because of your father, or let's take through that, and then we can sort of jump in briefly how you got into Isagenics.
Well, you know, it's so funny because it's, you know, how people view and perceive me now is so different from if you had known me in my past. I used to work in nightclubs. I worked as a bar porter, and I was a bouncer, and then I was a manager of various clubs and resorts around the world. So I had a kind of a rock and roll lifestyle for quite a while. You know, I smoked for 15 years. I mean, it's, you know, you name it, anything to do with lifestyle, I was knee deep in it. So one of the things I'm very aware of is transition between lifestyles can be challenging. I mean, because everything I was doing on the other side of it was completely in conflict to what I'm in contradiction to what I'm doing now. It couldn't be more different. And it wasn't until actually, it wasn't until I was about 28 and I was living in the south of Portugal, living the life I thought. And basically, I was a part-time drunk in a tennis resort. And my in a conversation, and I think it was a drunken conversation with my father, I just knew I was cut out for more. And I was a little concerned, you know, I was 28 years old, heading on to 29, and just worried that I wasn't doing enough. And I thought that there was more I was capable of doing. And I was just kind of, I was really wasting a potentially good life. So I had a conversation with him. My father actually, he was, he had a natural health care center, and he gave me an opportunity to come back and study. So I did a 3.5-year internship in natural health care and studied biokinesiology, touch for health, became a chartered herbalist. And really discovered that I really had a knack and a real interest for this line of work. And that was around 23 years ago when I first started studying, and then I haven't looked back since.
Wow. So you started studying, then you also got into training, because to give you an idea, David ran a fitness facility, Core Essentials. And it was catering. It was a boutique gym catering to, in our community, the doctors, the lawyers, the judges, the successful business people. I mean, it was sort of like the who's of who were going to David's gym. And, I mean, you really built up a reputation of creating results for your clients. If they're willing to follow and do your suggestion in eating, how to eat, and all these different aspects, I mean, you were generating tremendous results. I mean, you were the trainer on the West Coast. I mean, that was, you were the guy. And I can remember the first time I approached you about Isagenics, I mean, you wanted nothing to do with it. I think I had to twist your arm a few times before you agreed to take a 9-day program way back then, because that's all there was. And I remember it finding out you gave it away. You didn't even use it.
Yeah, I wasn't. I think I've called it, my professional arrogance. You know, it's because I was a herbalist. I worked in natural health care. I understood processes. The problem is I didn't even really look at it. I just figured just another one of these things. Somebody was trying to hawk me, and so I just punted it as fast as I got it.
That's right. And I guess that this is something that comes up. I mean, you may as well just address this a little bit.
Yeah.
Like trainers and gym owners constantly bombarded by people in, be it network marketing companies, to promote their nutritional line. Like, I mean, isn't that something that's just a given?
Oh, of course. Yeah, we just, I can't believe how much stuff was... you know, was being thrown at us over the years. And imagine, of course, the length of time I've been in this industry and how many things I've seen. And, you know, and the problem is that, you know, there is a lot of good stuff out there. It's just the approach was just wasn't there. And for each different profession you're going to talk to, or, you know, whatever demographic that is your target demographic, you have to know a little bit more about them and find a way to develop that rapport. And a lot of trainers, I guess one of the most challenging things about our industry, and I'll speak from my own experience as well, especially in the beginning, we had a whole lot of passion and not a whole lot of information. So, you know, we read a few good books, we took our courses, but the industry really didn't train us very well to understand the massive complexity of what we were dealing with. And that's one of the biggest problems with our industry, is that we're ill-educated, but we're high passion. And it creates for a very challenging conversation, because it's, you know, if I do something that works for me, I may not know how it works for me. I just know it worked, right? So if I drop 5 pounds or I drop 20 pounds, but the challenge is that things don't work exactly the same for everybody all the time, which is even on our programs here, that we adjust it for athletes, we adjust it for different individuals, for people with different health challenges. We make adjustments to it. And that's really the way it is, and that there's a lot of variability involved in everything, of course, in the health sciences for sure. And it's something in training that we didn't understand well enough. We were not taught by our industry how to really how to deal with variability, and especially with nutrition. And it's in our industry, it is. I mean, you know, we have, you know, 30 people lined up, and we may have to work with them individually in a very unique way, 30 different, complete different ways. You know, the trainings all can be all different. Where they're starting from, the psychology is different. Their nutritional needs are different. So we have these platforms that we start with, but of course we make adjustments as the needs demand.
Yeah, and I can remember just you looking at me going, how can this one nutritional 30-day cleansing system work for everyone? Like, you're off your rocker, Warren. And I just mean, you were so close. But long story short, after, I guess, it was almost 8 years, 6 years, probably 6 years of arm twisting, the team, because it wasn't me alone, it was a team effort to finally get you over the line. And needless to say, you're now part of Team Isagenics. They have you speak at universities. I mean, you're certainly recognized for your knowledge within the Isagenics world on these products and how to use them to create some pretty amazing results. So let's just jump into it. Like, let's talk about intermittent fasting. I mean, in essence, I guess first question I'd have for you, David, is, when we go through the typical 30-day nutritional cleansing system, where people usually start off with like two shakes in one meal, and then they do a two-day cleanse, back to five shakes, two shakes a day, one healthy meal, and then another two-day cleanse, would that constitute intermittent fasting?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and intermittent is just that, right? It's it moves away from the some of the older ideas. When I was working in my father's practice, I mean, you know, I've done 7-day fast, right? And no food whatsoever. And none of the nutrition that we find ourselves, of course, taking in with the products that we have for our cleanses. So intermittent fasting and the research, and Isagenics uses real up-to-date research, because when you look at what they're talking about, this is not just propaganda. You go actually look at the information, and then you go through the various research portals like the NIH, and you'll find abstracts that really support the 48-hour, the 24-hour concepts. And it's fascinating. It's just the whole nutritional fasting, this whole cleansing process, it was really attached to a lot of religious or spiritual kind of ideas throughout history, but also medically it's been used by medical practitioners all throughout history. I mean, it's not a new concept. It's just, the health benefit, it's funny, the health benefits are long understood and accepted and in most cultures, but in North American culture, we got to pull it apart with electron microscope before we believe anything.
Speaking of that, you said most cultures, a lot of the cultures accept the concept of intermittent fasting and the benefits. So can you speak into some of the benefits of intermittent fasting?
Well, you know, one of the biggest things that I was looking at, I remember years ago I read an abstract out of Longevity magazine, and I've been a huge fan of their publication. And they had talked about that the most, that you look at most lifestyle disorders, you know, that of course that our behavior, physical behavior is created. So it's not, you know, it's not a genetic thing. That's something that we physically did to ourselves. There's a common thread between all of them is something called a C-reactive protein, which is an inflammatory marker. And so this inflammatory marker is found widespread in all these lifestyle related disorders. So what was the extraordinary thing is that when we went into this fasting state, and so about 6 to 8 hours after the last time you ate, when the blood sugar levels are starting to drop, the body starts moving into this whole process and this fasting metabolism. And what was interesting is that we saw that, of course, there's a rise in growth hormone, and this has been reported, of course, numerous times in women and men. There's a significant increase in growth hormone, and I remember all the athletes getting excited about it, going, "Yes, free growth hormone! You know, the body's producing the stuff. We're going to build muscle." It's not really for building muscle. It's for protecting muscle, but there's this whole process that occurs, and that it's driven by something called CERTI1, and these enzymes go through and actually have the ability to recycle and regenerate our cellular process through something called autophagy. Autophagy is when the body goes through and the cells are being old, worn-out cells, damaged cells are being kind of chewed up and reutilized You know, it's like cleaning day. You get the house cleaners coming in and getting rid of all the garbage, spring cleaning, and we get to do that on these cleansing days. So it's and the beautiful thing about it is that it was a natural design. It was a natural design of the body to do this. To actually, we're supposed to be in these fasting states normally, because historically that would just happen. You know, our largest meal would be probably at lunch, and then I eat less as we went through the day because it became darker out. And one really kind of cool bit of research, again, just pointing to all this stuff, is that it's our stomach actually secretes melatonin. You know, we think of the pineal gland secreting it and getting us ready for sleep, but our guts produce melatonin, and our pancreas, which secretes insulin, has these receptor sites for melatonin. And so what that means is that as the day wanes on, we secrete less insulin, and so that we become unable or much less capable of utilizing sugar as the day goes on, which really, historically, that would make sense because, you know, after 7 or 8 o'clock at night, you know, you were not out hunting for food because you would be food, right, in the, you know, back in the old days. So it's just, so the whole cleansing process really, it just makes so much sense, and it's so beautiful to actually see the way this company has actually put it together for everybody.
So one of the biggest benefits sort of from this intermittent fasting is the natural production of growth hormone, if you can get your body into that state, and then there's a whole ton of benefits that would be linked to that.
Yeah, well, because it's most lifestyle disorders, it's the breakdown over time, right? You know, things just keep breaking down. If we never give the body a chance to heal, If we never stop the influx of food, we never actually put that body in the state where it's allowed to heal. Then of course we don't, right? There's just never any downtime. And the challenge is we're looking to a lot of research around shift workers and how do you support shift workers in these crazy work environments. So if the body's never given a chance to heal and you're constantly putting under stress from quite a few different areas of your life. You know, no wonder people are struggling. There's never any downtime at all. Stress is 24/7. Our dietary intake is suspect at best. We're never giving the body a chance to really heal. And one of the frustrating things I find about cleansing and the conversation around is that we keep talking about cleansing as it relates to fat loss, but that's just a small part of it. It's a beautiful part of it, but I'm more excited about all the other things that it's doing, as well as the fat loss benefits that we're seeing.
Love it. Now, you commented just a moment ago, and it's actually one of our points that we want to discuss, is I know you're really big on controlling when you're eating. Obviously, you mentioned that you can have like the intermittent fasting can be 24, 48 hours, but then you also mentioned that it starts to actually kick in around 6 to 8 hours, and I know you're really big on it. Was in fact, you were actually talking to my wife, and I was over listening that how if you can control from the time you have your first meal to the last time you put food in your body, if you can keep it to no more than 12 hours, 8 to 10 is even better, you can start creating some dynamic results. Can you talk about this, like controlling when you're eating, like, and how it impacts weight loss. Like, how does that all tie together?
Well, it's interesting, and this actually comes from the Salk Institute and the research they're doing on this what they call circadian rhythm. And we think of circadian rhythm as a normal, you know, a 24-hour clock the body runs on, but actually our organs, our individual organs, have their own circadian rhythm that's controlled partially by melatonin, partially by the the hours of the day that we're, of course, awake or sleeping, but they're also controlled by our diet. And when we're ingesting food much later on in the day, of course, it sets a signal up, tells the liver that, hey, we're not into this sleep repair mode because, you know, food's coming down the hatch. And as I said a few moments ago, when the sun goes down and, of course, when we're getting more into dusk, that it's and melatonin is being secreted, our body is naturally being put into a state of slumber. It wants us to go to sleep. It wants us to shut down so it can actually heal itself. And so I have my first meal at, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, then I'm done eating. All my calories done at 7 p.m. So the cool thing is that I have a 12-hour window of opportunity to eat all the calories I need and then of course that I'm fasting more or less for the next 12 hours. So, but then realistically, it would be if it takes me, let's say, 6 to 8 hours to use up the sugar in my system after my last meal, and then I'm put into a 4-hour fasting state, a healing state, every single day, and that's 7 days a week if I can stay inside that 7-hour window. Now, and the researchers did point out that it wasn't absolutely imperative that you did it 7 days a week, but if you're doing, 4 to 5 days a week, a lot of health benefits come from it, and one of them, of course, being the ability to utilize fat stores much more efficiently. And then, of course, if you can do the 8-hour window, which would be, it's only mentally challenging, right? People never starve to death doing this. People will actually feel really good when they're using these eating windows. And the 8-hour window, what they were looking at, and again, this is all from the Salka Institute, that people actually had, fat loss forthcoming, but there was an increase in endurance. So the body actually started producing these cells called mitochondria, and they proliferated, and all of a sudden people had developed greater endurance. So for endurance athletes, you may want to look at the potential of using these 8-hour windows of opportunity to encourage the body to build these processes for you. And it just makes sense because, we look at strength training. If I want to build muscle, I train hard, and then my focus is on recovery. But we never think about the recovery of our metabolism, right? Today might be leg day. Tomorrow might be back day. But every day is a kidney day. And our organs need the chance to regenerate, and we just never give them that opportunity.
Wow. So you're saying, or the Salk Institute sort of saying, that this idea of eating within that 12-hour window. If I start my first shake, so that would be my first shake in the morning is 8 a.m., then my last food going into my body should be 8 p.m. Now, and I know you're saying if I can do that 4 or 5 days a week, I mean, huge health benefits. But what about, I got to ask this question. So, great, I had my first shake this morning at 8. Let's say Kyle and Megan come over to visit and I stay away. I don't put out any cheese or crackers, or maybe we do, but I don't have any. But what about if I have a glass of wine, or can I have a cup of coffee, or can I, like when you say no food after 8 p.m., that's like no food, but I can have a glass of wine?
No, it's nothing, because of course you're dealing with the carbohydrate content, right? The sugar, right? So you're stimulating the body yet again. So you can have water, you have green tea, coffee probably, drinking coffee late at night probably wouldn't be a great idea, but nothing that would put the body into a digestive process.
Okay, so
no fat, no protein, no carbohydrates.
So it's really water, a green tea, herbal teas, yeah. I imagine would be okay. What about even just like lemon and water? I know a lot of times you boil water, Arlene loves this and just squeezes some lemon juice into the water and
sips. Yeah, I think their main concern was actually just the intake of calories, right? Just the people sitting down and it's a mindless eating. Quite often we find that the largest meal of the day, of course, for most people is dinner, right? And it's funny, and it's so inverse that when we need the most amount of calories, which is basically Monday to Friday, right, day in, day out, we don't get them enough. And then when we have more time to eat, which is during the weekends, when people tend to be a little bit less active, we tend to eat more calories because we have time. And
well, it's more of a social thing. Let's be honest. When you get together, you have friends come over for dinner. I mean, there's wine and cheese. You may have some pepperoni out or something. And I mean, it's part of our North American culture where eating has become something of a social habit.
Well, and you can have your cake and eat it too. You just got to time it. Right, and I think the challenge is that it just when you set it up properly, if you're using the products properly, using systems properly, and you're using common sense, and so I'm 80% on, I'm 20% off, right? So just my diet isn't perfect all the time, but I try to make sure 80% of the time that my timing is correct, my food combinations are correct, that I'm not eating past 7 p.m. for myself. That's my cutoff, and I do that at least 5 days out of 7. And it really makes a big difference. My mental clarity is really, really good. I'm sleeping better. I wake up with a lot more energy by giving my body a chance to heal. And I think that's, for me, that was a big missing part. Fasting was a big missing part for me. And, of course, that 12-hour window is actually finding it to be a real huge benefit to me, especially the mental clarity piece.
Love that. Love that. And you know, realistically, it shouldn't be that difficult to do. And I love how you said to us, like, if we can hit that 4 or 5 days a week, we're going to start to see a significant benefit. I love that. Now, you just said something else about food combining, leveraging food combining for sort of like best results. And I know, I mean, for you to go in and win the Western Canadian Natural Bodybuilding Championship, not only the Masters division, but the heavyweight division, going up against all those 20 and 30-year-old guys and smoking them. And I know, so you figured things out. Explain this a little bit about food combining for best results.
Well, one of the things that you know, we've looked at and have been exploring, or you know, over the last decade or so, is a change in physical behavior. So one of the things that we do know that it's we're not as active as a society as we used to be. So we're not as much in the labor trades. It's more obviously computer based, network based type businesses we find ourselves involved in. So the demands for a lot of sugar, a lot of energy from carbohydrates really has become much less. And we're finding, of course, people are becoming more and more sensitive. And this is, you know, just a real fascinating thing, because it popped in my head and I got to get it out, otherwise I might have an aneurysm if I don't say it, is that, you know, if you, there's the research they looked at, you know, type 2 diabetics, and of course type 2 diabetes is lifestyle controlled. But if a type 2 diabetics had children, there's a good possibility that children would be a type 1 because of the change in how we change our genetics, how we change our genetic expression. So my hairdresser, this young girl, her father was a type 2 diabetic, and she is a type 1 diabetic. And it puts a huge burden of responsibility, and she's going, "Mine, well, that sucks, because now I got to pay that much attention." But in conversation with Dr. Colgan, who I just absolutely adore, speaking of that man, but you know, we look at our dietary intake. It's not just a matter of food that we're taking in, but actually it's part of a process called epigenetics, where the nutritional profile, there's a lot of things that affect our genetic expression. Epi just means above genetics. So genetics, you have your genetic potential, but it's your tendency, not your destiny. So when you get into consuming foods and nutritional supplements, that actually helps your gene expression differ. So I get to determine to some degree how my body shows up, how my genes express themselves. So we look at food combining. What I was trying to do was minimize insulin spikes, because I'm very hypoglycemic. I'm very sensitive to sugars. So you look at how a diabetic would eat, and of course the issue with diabetes, of course, is the issue with insulin sensitivity, or being desensitized to insulin. And so part of it, I decided, well, maybe if I ate like a diabetic, and I really brought my sugar levels down, increased my crunchy leafy vegetables, and had more fat and protein, and I realized that that was actually quite extraordinary. But I even took it one step further, and I figured if I had a plate of food, for example, and I eat very little starch, starch makes up, you know, a very minor part of my diet, and that's all your grains, you know, your breads, your pastas, and that sort of thing. But if I sat down with a meal and I ate half of my protein first, so let's say, you know, you make that beautiful salmon, Warren, so I ate, let's say, 2 or 3 ounces of salmon first before I had anything else, and then I had the rest of my meal with it. It actually, my body produced glucagon, this hormone called glucagon, and I wasn't really in a big storage state. So a lot of people would email me and say, "Listen, Dave, I have this problem. I'm always starving. I'm eating way healthy. What do I do?" So if we eat half our protein and fat first and then eat the rest of our meal, we wouldn't spike our insulin the same way. But if we eat half of our meal of carbohydrates, so let's say you had pasta, or here's an example. If you go to a restaurant, what is the first thing they serve at a restaurant before you get your meal?
They give you typically bread with butter.
Yeah. Why do they give you bread? Because it spikes your insulin. It makes you freaking starving, right? So all of a sudden, you're gonna, you know, by the time your food gets there, you want to take the left-hand side of the menu. She'll take the right-hand side of the menu. You'll overeat because it primes the pump. It spikes your insulin. All of a sudden, now you're hungry. And you're not going to be satiated, so you're more likely to overeat if you have the bread. But if you say, for example, you ordered the chicken wings first, or say dry ribs, whatever your thing is, right? And you had those instead of the bread, right? And stayed away from the alcohol until you got your meal, ate half your protein first, you'd probably find that, one, you're not as hungry, you're going to get fuller faster, and your body doesn't produce as much insulin. and which really gives you a longer stream of energy throughout the day. So I eat very little starch. I have it once or twice a week, but I have most of my protein, half of my protein before I eat the rest of my meal. It inhibits the production of the stimulation of insulin, and inhibits fat production, which keeps me leaner year round. Plus, it keeps my brain running very, very efficiently.
Wow. Who would have thought that? And I mean, I like what you said. You eat half your protein first, but then if you're having some whatever other vegetables with the salmon or some wild grain rice or whatever it may be, you're saying you're eating the other half of that protein, in this case salmon, with the rest of your food, and it's all good. And then you even said that at that point, having a glass of wine, because I know you'll enjoy a nice bottle of wine, but enjoy it, but be like, if you're trying to have this great physique, then it's also being responsible and don't drink the entire bottle.
Yeah, well, and it's, you know, and the thing is, you really have to, you really got to be able to, if you want it bad enough, you got to pay attention to it. But again, and this is just simply not about fat loss. This is about health. Again, a lot of chronic disorders that are really destroying people's lives and taking people off this planet are their lifestyle based. And, you know, yes, the fat loss is wonderful, but man, there's so many other far-reaching benefits. If I get to keep my brain functioning at a high level until I'm 90, I'd rather have a 5-10 pounds of fat around my middle and have a brain that functions 100%. I'm less good. Fat loss, I think, is one of the easier parts. It's a health is the issue, and I say this in training, and I say this for fat loss. Don't be so concerned about the fat loss. Don't be so concerned about building the muscle. Be concerned about making all these 150 trillion cells really, really healthy. They'll lose the fat for you. They'll build the beautiful muscle for you. Your job is to make them healthy, not to stress it out.
Well, speaking of stress, because when the body is under tremendous loads, I mean, you hear Dr. Colgan talk about, you hear a lot of doctors talking about inflammation, like inflammation in the body. You can have real high cortisol levels, and if people are under tremendous stress, their cortisol is shooting through the roof, it doesn't matter what you do, you're not going to release excess fat. I mean, because there's this imbalance. So can you speak a little on, I mean, it seems like we've only been talking for 5 minutes, and the clock's racing. We're going to definitely have you back. I'm so enjoying this. But can you speak a little bit on sort of like the importance of reducing inflammation? I mean, is it just like, hey, if you're under inflammation, you can't lose fat, that's it, or is there so much more to it?
The part of the challenge is that this is a multi-causal thing, right? So there's so many factors that are feeding into it. We can have fat on our body for lots of different reasons. So let's say, for example, if I have high levels of stress, we know that cortisol, high levels of cortisol can actually stimulate the production of visceral fat, right? And it's directly correlated. If you have that abdominal fat, there's a higher risk of serious health disorders than having fat in other parts of the body. So we know high level levels of cortisol is a big driver for fat production. We also know that under-eating is a big of course, can really set us up for fat accumulation, because it makes us puts us in the starvation mode by affecting our thyroid gland and other parts of our metabolism. We know that also overeating, which is the flip side of undereating, because undereating generally leads to overeating at some point, drives high levels of insulin, right? And that, of course, throws the body into big storage mode as well. So there's so many things that we do that put the body in a state of inflammation and a constant state of stress. So trying to make sure that all these cells are happy and healthy. I know one of the things that I really do for myself, and I'm working, this is probably in the last couple of years have been my biggest pursuit, is actually just reducing mental stress overall and just creating a lot of clarity about why the heck am I here? Why am I doing this? Far beyond the health benefits, far beyond, there's a whole psychology behind what we're doing. So, you know, if you have 30, 40 pounds to lose, you know, we know for certain, and I know that's been working with thousands of people over the years, that it's from the neck up is where the issues lie when we have issues from the neck down, right? So we have lifestyle-related disorders caused by things going on inside of our head, lack of attention, issues with self-image. There's a whole host of things. And I see this quite often when people go through these massive weight loss transformations. The body changes, the psychology doesn't. And it's really really such an important thing to create some clarity about why you're in the game to start with. Otherwise, you never keep the results. And this is why you have these recurrent failures in weight loss, because, again, the physiology changes because the cells are willing to go along for the ride. But if our point of view and our psychology doesn't change at the same time, it keeps our stress levels too high, and we just loop back to old behaviors. So meditation has been a really big thing for me, and I try to be very, very consistent throughout the week. So I meditate probably 4 or 5 times a week. I do hot yoga two days a week as a minimum, 3 if I can. And I focus more on actually slowing down, and it's not about – this is the whole fight or flight, this driven North American culture. And I'm trying to go – I'm trying to use more of the Eastern philosophies, which I've really attended to over the years, but really trying to incorporate them full-time into my lifestyle. Because if I can slow my brain down and I can ease my way through it, this whole process of developing muscle, burning off fat, actually having this extraordinary life is really probably a lot easier than we're making it out to be. But being this living in this North American lifestyle, we support and workaholism, we support and give awards to people that die on the altar of their career, when really there's a much more graceful way to go around it. And again, making sure all these cells are healthy and happy, and if that's our focus, then you can probably be rest assured that the rest of your life is going to turn out pretty good. Not only will the fat loss come off much more gracefully and easier, you're not trying to beat it off with a stick, muscle development comes along much more easier and gracefully because the cells are happy, but then the mental clarity and the peace of mind you get from having a healthy organism is extraordinary. And I think we're just too aggressive, and I think the word I've adopted in the last couple of years is grace. Be very graceful in this whole process. The company set us up for success. So if we really truly become a product of the product, and go to isogenicshealth.net, a lot of stuff I've been talking about is on there, really get a really deep understanding of just how good of a thing we got here. You'll always do your cleanse days. I will fast one day a week for the rest of my life. I will do there's no way I won't do that. Not because of the fat loss, which is great. I like staying lean year-round. But the health benefits are just so massive. Why wouldn't I do that?
I love it. Well, you know, I generally like to cleanse every Monday, and we have friends visiting, so sometimes it doesn't happen. But, you know, it fits into your, like for me, it fits in, and it works. It's so nice to be able to cleanse once a week. But what I look forward to incorporating, David, is the concept of from the time I have my first shake in the morning, 12 hours later, I'm done. So if I have my first shake at 8, then I'm done at 8 p.m. Now, one last quick question on that, because I think some people are going to be thinking about this. Can we push the clock back? What happens if I don't have my first shake till 9 o'clock or maybe 10 o'clock? Is that all right? I mean, it's still a 12-hour period. Let's say I wake up at 7, and you know what? I just hold off. I go for a run. I have some water, maybe drink some herbal tea, but I don't have my first shake until 10 o'clock. Does that mean I have from 10 in the morning till 10 at night?
No. The preference is still, because, again, we had talked about the our guts produce melatonin. So as the day wanes on and as starts to turn, the light becomes less and it gets closer to dusk. We become less capable of metabolizing sugars. So 7 to 8 p.m. is really the latest we should eat, ideally.
So I can't like even push the envelope to almost noon, then I get to eat till midnight. That you can't do that.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, I mean, come on. No. Other people are going to be thinking the same thing as me, David. Yeah. That's an easy one. I'll just starve first thing in the morning and eat later in the day.
Well, and the best thing about this research is that when they were looking at it is that the studies that we're doing, it wasn't on the best foods in the world. It was on kind of mediocre foods, and they were still getting these massive fat loss results, massive changes in health, and in some of these different markers in the body were actually improving quite significantly. So a lot of great things are happening without the benefit of what we have. So not only do we have the science around it, but we also have some of the best nutritional products in the world. So this we should just be an absolute shoo-in for us.
Love it.
I mean, we have it so good. We just have to follow the system and continue to use it and continue to want to learn more about it. Because I find the more I understand, of course, the more I want to follow through. And it becomes less about, what's going on inside of my head as far as how my body is supposed to be. You know, if there's 50 reasons why I'm cleansing, one of them happens to be fat loss, and fat loss is not forthcoming, I'm still excited about the other 49 because I know fat loss will show up.
Mm. Love it, David. It has been an absolute treat, my friend. It's just you're a world of information, and I love that you invest the time and energy to study what the Salk Institute's doing, to study the different articles that Dr. Michael Colgan publishes, works with world elite athletes for almost the last 40 years. I know you devour that information, and it's so cool that we can tap into you without putting in the hours and hours of research and reading, and you share it with us so freely. So I just want to thank you for taking the time and really just impacting my life and the lives of thousands and thousands of team members around the globe. So I just want to say thank you so much. And David, I'm going to be twisting your arm to get you back on here. I feel like we've just scratched the tip of the iceberg. So thank you, my friend.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure, absolutely.
Mm. Okay, everyone. And again, if you want to get a copy of this recording, there's three ways. You can go to Facebook, and you can look up TakeActionTeam.com, and you can follow that group. They get posted. The recordings get posted there. You can go to Podomatic and download the app onto your smartphone, and then follow Take Action Team, and you'll get the recording sent to you. And then the other way is just go to TakeActionTeam.com, and what you can do there is just subscribe to the email list, and then every week Katie will send out these recordings to you. So celebrations just around the corner. David, I know you're going to be there. We have the great Gatsby party happening, so, you know, if you want to have a chance to see David in person, ask him a few questions. He's going to be in Las Vegas, my friends. So with that, everyone, have a spectacular week, and we'll see you again a week from now. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.